Genesis chapter 27. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old, and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his oldest son, and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. Isaac was 137 years old at this time. Verse 2, And he said, Behold now, I am old. I know not the day of my death. And that certainly was true. Isaac evidently thought that he would die pretty soon, but he actually lived another 40 years. You know, what we think about our life, the length of our life, doesn't matter. Death doesn't play by the rules of fairness. Only God knows if people will die young or old or somewhere in between. You know, only God knows how and when it's going to happen, so our job is to be ready in case it happens today. 3. Now therefore, take, I pray you, your weapons, your quiver, and your bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison. The Bible said earlier, that Isaac's favorite son was Esau, because Esau was a good hunter. He knew how to cook his game, too, just the way his father liked it. Verse 4. And make me some savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die. And Isaac is really out of line here. The blessing which Isaac plans on giving Esau is the messianic blessing. It is the promise that God gave to Abraham, and then Abraham passed on to Isaac. It is the promise that God wanted Isaac to pass on to his younger son, Jacob, not the spiritually dead Esau. And so Isaac is out of the will of God in what he plans on doing. 5, and Rebekah heard when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son. Rebekah knew God's will in this situation. She knew that Jacob was supposed to receive the blessing, not Esau. It says in verse 5, And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spoke unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard your father speak unto Esau your brother, saying. I've always noticed how Rebekah spoke to her son Jacob. I don't know why she didn't speak to her husband, Isaac. She should have said, What you're planning on doing is against God's will, and you know it. Why are you doing this? Verse 6 through 8, let's read, because they all go together. And Rebekah spoke unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard your father speak unto Esau your brother, saying, Bring me venison, and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless you before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command you. And normally I would say, Yes, Jacob, obey your mother. The Bible says, honor your father and mother, but not this time. And that's because Rebekah is wrong in what she's about to say. And I don't care who they are. No one has the right to command us to do something that goes against the word of God. So Jacob should have said, No, mother, I can't do it. I can't defy the word of God in order to please you. Verse 9. But this is what she said, Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence 2 good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for your father, such as he loves. And you shall bring it to your father, that he may eat, and that he may bless you before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, "Behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver." Stop there. Jacob doesn't want to appear to be tricking his father. He doesn't want to appear to be tricking his father. He doesn't want to seem to be a deceiver. Well, then he shouldn't be a deceiver. There's no seeming about it. If he goes through with this, he is a deceiver. Last part of verse 12, "And I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing." And Jacob has that part right. The Bible says in Deuteronomy, "Cursed is anyone who leads a blind man astray." God will punish those who take advantage of someone else's weakness. And Jacob seems to be overly concerned about getting caught by his father, but he should be more concerned about getting caught by God. It's because whether the father catches him or not, he's still going to be under the curse of sin if he goes through with this. Not going to get away with this. And he didn't. 13. "And his mother said unto him, Upon me be your curse, my son, only obey my voice and go fetch me them." His mother says, "Jacob, if you get caught, I'll take the curse for you." Well, that's very generous. Too bad it's meaningless. No one can take the curse of someone else's sin. The only one who could do that was Jesus. Verse 14, "And he went and fetched and brought them," the two kids of the goats, "to his mother. And his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob." And so Rebekah and Jacob will use several things to deceive Isaac. They will use taste, smell, and touch to deceive, which illustrates that although our senses are wonderful, they're a gift from God, but we shouldn't make decisions based solely on our senses. It's important to measure everything by Scripture and pray for it, and pray about it, I should say, before we go through with it. Verse 18, "And he came unto his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I. Who are you, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done according as you bade me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that your soul may bless me." Well, I don't think in verse 18 that the question which was asked Jacob was expected by him. It says, "He came unto his father and said, My father, and he said, Here I am. Who are you, my son?" I don't think Jacob ever expected that question. Because now Jacob must decide if he's going to add a lie to his already sin of deception. There's still time for Jacob to bail out of this sinful scheme. He hasn't really sinned yet. So all he has to do is turn around and walk out the door. He doesn't even have to say anything. Again, verse 19, "And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done according as you bade me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that your soul may bless me." Verse 20, "And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord your God brought it to me." It was a sin to lie, and it was a sin to deceive. But now Jacob takes it one step further by dragging God's name into his sin. The same sort of thing happens today. When you hear people say things like, God told me to do this, the Lord gave me a vision, or I have a word from God for you. Many people take God's name in vain today. Of course, they do it in a very pious way. And good old Jacob here, he really sounded pious. Oh, the Lord your God helped me find this venison. What a liar. 21. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray you, that I may feel you, my son, whether you be my very son Esau or not. Jacob has to be a little bit worried here. Isaac clearly isn't sure if it's his son Esau, and he's right, it isn't. 22. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he, Isaac, felt him, and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. In other words, Isaac is thinking, this just doesn't make sense. Sounds like Jacob, but feels like Esau. Sounds smooth, but he feels hairy. You know, I'm not excusing Jacob's sin of deception, but Isaac would not have been confused if he wouldn't be trying to thwart the will of God. God is not the author of confusion, the Bible says. So if we're confused about a situation, we should probably back off and pray some more. God will show us what needs to be done. 23, and he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy and his brother Esau's hands, as his brother's Esau's hands. So he blessed him. The voice was Jacob's. That's a reason not to bless him. The hands were hairy. That's a reason to bless him. Something has to break the tie. And I guess Isaac figures that Jacob could never grow hair so quickly, so he begins to take the bait. But he doesn't quite swallow the hook yet. Notice verse 24. And he said, are you my very son Esau? See? Evidently, Isaac just can't get past that voice sounding like Jacob. It really bothers him. Verse 24 again. He said, are you my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless you. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. Well, what a fool. What a fool. And everyone who gives into their sin nature is being foolish. Nothing good ever comes from it. It's like knocking yourself on the head with a hammer because you think this time it's going to feel good. I'm expecting positive results this time. He was a fool for lying. Saying, yes, yes, I'm your son, Esau. And he said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless you. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. Now his father Isaac said unto him, come near now, and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field which the Lord God has blessed. Isaac's sense of touch told him it was Esau. His sense of smell told him it was Esau also, so he swallowed the deception, hook, line, and sinker. And if Jacob could look into the future and see how much he would suffer for this deception, he never would have said, I'm Esau. He would have said, Dad, hold it, I'm a liar. Please don't bless me. 28. Therefore God give you the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brethren and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you and blessed be he who blesses you. Isaac does the unthinkable. He honestly believes that that he may be close to death, and yet he willfully disobeys God by giving the messianic blessing to one that he thinks is Esau, the wrong one. I don't understand that at all. Verse 30, and it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. That was a close call. This was a near miss. 31, and he also had made savory meat, and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that your soul may bless me. Look at verse 32. And as Isaac his father said unto him, who are you? And he said, I'm your son, your firstborn Esau. Well, that was a strange question. Who else would be coming in with the nice meal his father had just ordered? Esau must be thinking, what a strange question for my father to ask. 33, and Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he who has taken venison and brought it to me, and I have eaten of all before you came, and have blessed him? Yes, and he shall be blessed. Don't feel too bad for Isaac. I mean, he trembled. It's kind of a pathetic sight, but remember, he rebelled against God. At least he tried to, but it backfired. He trembles because no matter what good sin promises, it only delivers bad. The Bible says there's no peace for the wicked, says the Lord. No peace at all. Next verse, verse 34. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceedingly bitter cry, and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. When Esau heard his father say, I gave someone else your blessing, and I can't take it back, he cried like a baby. And that's because he stands to lose a lot of wealth. Verse 35. Isaac said, your brother came with subtlety and has taken away your blessing. Notice, neither Isaac or Esau had to hire a private eye to find out who did it. Well, they knew who did it. There's no question about it. It's Esau. That's just kind of, it's a Jacob. That's the kind of guy he is, you know. Verse 36. And he, that is Esau, said, is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing. And he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? You know, Esau, you talk about revisionist history. Jacob didn't take away his birthright. Esau despised it. He didn't want it. He sold it for a bowl of stew. I don't feel sorry for Esau either. 37. And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him your lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto you, my son? He's got the big blessing, and I can't reverse it. And that's just the way it is. Esau. 38, and Esau said unto his father, have you but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. You know, he was just a materialistic person, and that's what has him broken over this loss of blessing, loss of income, loss of wealth. 39, and Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, your dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth. And it really, that should say, your dwelling should be from the fatness of the earth and of the dew of the heavens from above. In other words, there's not much left, and you're not going to have much. It's not going to be easy. for you and your descendants. 40, and by your sword shall you live. In other words, you're going to be a violent, your offspring are going to be a violent people, and you shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass when you have the dominion that you shall break his yoke from off your neck. There's going to be rebellion. There's going to be servitude on the part of Esau's people and rebellion. And if they're going to get ahead, they're going to do it by their sword, because they're just not going to be blessed. 41. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." So he lived to get revenge. He looked forward to the day when he could kill his brother. 42. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah, and she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, "Behold, your brother Esau, as touching you, does comfort himself, purposing to kill you." I mean, he is living for the day when he can kill you, Jacob. You're really in trouble, you know that. 43. "Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, and arise, flee unto Laban, my brother, to Haran. Skip town, and do it in a hurry." Verse 44, "And tarry with him a few days, until your brother's fury turns away." Yeah, those few days would turn into 20 years. And you know what? Jacob would never see his mother again. 45, "Until your brother's anger turn away from you, and he forget that which you have done to him, then I will send and fetch you from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day?" Remember when his mother told him that, you know, "I'll take the curse for your sin, don't worry about it"? Well, she kind of changed her tune here in verse 45. Now that Jacob's in trouble, she says, "Until your brother's anger turns away from you and forget that which you have done to him." She's not even taking part of the blame. 46. "And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these, which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me? Well, and there was some truth in that. You needed to go back and to their hometown, basically, the home of their ancestors, Abraham, and find somebody who believed in the one true God for a wife instead of these Canaanite women. Of course, the real reason she wanted to send Jacob away and wanted Isaac's approval for this is because she knew Esau was going to kill him.